The three triarchs were chosen from amongst those noble families who can prove unbroken descent from old Valyria to serve until the first day of the new year. And you would have known all this if you had troubled to read that book that Maester Kedri gave you.
It had no pictures.
There were maps.
If it had told me it was about tigers and elephants, I might have given it a try. It looks suspiciously like a history.
Hello and welcome to Two Champs and a Chump, a Game of Thrones LCG podcast founded in 2010 by Will Lentz, myself, Brett Zeiler, and Greg Atkinson. Major props go out to FFG for putting out a great game, George R. R. Martin for an amazing product, Card Game DB for our hosting, and Josh Woodward to the Creative Commons license music you hear today. Welcome to Season 3.
And that is why we don't let Daryl do quotes. He has a silly accent.
No, it sounds that's good work there. I could probably get a job as a voice actor.
You could maybe convince the HBO guys to hire you on as Brown Ben, like you've been hoping for.
That's what I'm hoping for. I sent in my body shots the other day, and I kind of regret not wearing a shirt. But
come on, this is HBO. They actually probably wanted you without pants.
I wasn't wearing pants either.
Daryl's physique is more doughy than most of the actors.
You know, I kind of look like a Michael Bublé.
Emphasis on the boob portion of that name.
you look like a fat Samuel Tarly.
Well, welcome.
Samuel Tarly looks like a fat Samuel Tarly.
To Two Champs and a Chump, once again, hosted by myself. Will Lentz, generally known as Kennen, and my doughty and doughy co-hosts.
My name is Brett Zeiler, occasionally known as Intentionally Anonymous.
My name is Daryl Lloyd. I'm Gearhalt on the boards.
And this is a podcast.
This is a podcast.
Yep. Welcome to another fine episode.
Very fine.
Welcome back.
Much finer than those competing podcasts, you know.
What competing podcasts?
You know, that's right. They're not really competing.
Well,
they are.
It's not easy to do what we do. Let's get real here.
It's really easy to do what we do.
We deliver unfiltered, unbiased, straight from our mouths to your ears. So. And we're making a habit of being wrong, which I love, by the way. I regret nothing.
Daryl Lloyd, making a habit of being wrong.
We know that.
That's a quote to apply to your life.
I put that in a post the other day. I regret nothing. Talking about the long voyage. I still don't regret anything. I still think it's... I mean, it's obviously good, but it still sucks ass.
Well, I think that's maybe a discussion for another time. We've got a different topic on the plate for most of this episode. But before we get to that one, we've been hitting on news and announcements and such, and unfortunately there's not really much Thrones-related FFG news.
There's not.
The biggest thing, I think, is Gen Con event registration is open, so... Get out there, go buy some tickets, make sure you get registered for the Thrones events. At the moment, we are lagging behind the registration for the Netrunner and the Star Wars events.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're going to be at Gen Con, go ahead and go register. I know a lot of the people that normally go just will pick up the generic tickets. Yeah, and go register at the last second and stuff, but... it only helps the game and our standing in, you know, FFG's eyes and stuff by having that kind of pre-registration, so to speak, so they have some numbers and a better feel for things beforehand. So go register. I still need to do it myself, so I'm going to try and do it here before the end of the month or at least within the first week of June or so.
Yeah.
And that's the news.
Also, FFG is a Gen Con sponsor this year.
They were last year also, I believe.
Oh, they were? Oh, okay.
For sure.
Cool.
Sweet.
So the big, more exciting topic for the week.
Much more exciting.
Far more. We've got another new chapter pack already.
Yay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't sound terribly excited there, Brett.
Well, I'm rarely excited.
I mean, I think there's some pretty cool stuff in this pack.
There is
but
some.
But I think I've been disagreeing with several folks about this cycle lately, so...
Yeah, I don't know why I've been disagreeing with it. It hasn't been wow-worthy, I think, up until maybe the last pack. But now we're starting to get into some really tasty shit. So,
you know, I'm fully down for a chapter pack review, but Daryl, I really need to know. Are you going with your only Bs and higher rating scale again?
Yeah, only Bs are high. I can't afford to give anything lower. So,
well, you know, at least...
It's true. That last chapter pack was solid Bs.
I think that's a good mark for the set, then. I mean, there's been a lot of, you know, cool stuff in here. Maybe it's not blowing people away like they expected, but I've been quite happy with it overall.
It's all right.
Yeah, I'm going to go as I was. The last pack was pretty gnarly, and so this pack as well is going to be pretty darn fun.
So without further ado, shall we?
We shall.
Sure. I think you're up first, Brett.
I believe I am. First up is the only Lanny card in the pack, much to Will's chagrin, I'm sure. It is the Armored Guardsman. It is a 3-cost, non-unique character with 3 strength, a military icon with a naval enhancement, and a power icon. He has the House Redwind trait and response. After you kneel a standing character using a card effect, add 2 gold to your gold pool from the treasury. Limit once per round.
Fun.
Yeah.
You know.
Need extra gold acceleration for Lanny, doing what they do.
Yep.
I'm quite a fan of it. Mm-hmm. That's all I was about to say.
I mean, I wonder if this, if we could see the Lions will see a little more play, because you pay 2 gold to kneel a guy any phase, and then boom, you're gonna get that gold right back. So that's kind of rad.
I mean, I think it's probably its best to do, some kneeling in the, what's it called? Plot phase. And then it gives you some gold, so you can do some shadow shenanigans when you normally wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, that's certainly a good point. Lanny's getting a lot more flexibility with their gold to be able to get it before the marshalling phase lately.
Absolutely.
Which is pretty cool, I think. And just in general, I dig that it gives a way to... I don't know, to interact with kneeling, which is a Lannister theme, without just being another card that says, mm-hmm. choose a kneel a character, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it plays into it, and it gives us something interesting to do to it, and supports it, without just browbeating us with the same old effect.
True that.
And it's worth noting, no negative traits, which is amazing in Lanny.
Mm-hmm.
Solid just stats, and it does have that naval enhancement on... the military icon, which, you know, I don't know if that's enough to make Black Sails viable right off the bat here, but Lanny's finally getting some options and maybe has some choices for that warship that grants deadly.
Mm-hmm. All right. Reviews, Daryl, what do you think?
Well, to be honest with you, I do really like this card, and I know we've been joking about it, but really, I do want to give this card a B. The other reasons, not having a negative trait and all that, that's great, but I really like to play the Lion's Will, and that's honestly the reason why I'm giving it a B, to give me an excuse to play that card.
William?
You know, you still need to have a fairly specific deck, because you need to include quite a few kneeling effects to really get the use out of him. So I'm probably leaning towards like a C+. But he does a lot of really interesting things for Lanny, so he definitely deserves that plus in my book.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with just a solid C. I'm not terribly impressed by him. I think he's a fine character, and he might find his way into some decks, but unless you can really take advantage of the goal, like of Neil effects before marshalling and then ways to take advantage of that. I don't think he'll be an all-star by any means.
All right.
Moving on, Daryl.
Moving on. Next up, we have Iron Island's Brigand. He is a one-cost character. He's Greyjoy. I guess I should mention that. He's one-cost. He is a military icon. He has the Raider trait, and he reads, response, discard Iron Island's Brigand from play to cancel the effects of a location card just triggered.
And for the record, he does also have a naval enhancement on that military icon.
Oh. Exactly what I was thinking about.
He has a naval enhancement, which is okay, I guess.
Yeah. I think this guy's pretty yawn-worthy.
Really? I dig him. I think he's a solid cancel for Greyjoy. He's fairly set up handy. He fits into a trait theme there if you're going that direction. His ability doesn't require it, so he can be, you know, run in about any Greyjoy deck. No negative trait. Works nicely to give you some other options for black sails. I think he's a really solid little weenie.
I don't know. I guess I really just wish he worked more like Scurvy Cutthroat, and then he could just discard to just discard a location just played. I think he's similar enough that little difference. I like my card themes to be intact.
I don't know. It's kind of back and forth there. I mean, sure, something like the Scurvy Cutthroat is a more permanent answer, but you're limited to having to have the Cutthroat in play before they play the attachment, versus the Brigand is not permanent, but you're not, you know, fixed into the order there. You can get him after they've had the location for a turn or two and then cancel it later at a key time.
Fair enough.
I could see it coming up in choke.
Cancel some of those reducers.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Farrah's starting to look fairly popular right now. Cancel Seat of Power.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, if you've got this on the board, they just won't trigger the Seat of Power. But still, me investing one gold to keep them out of three, I think, is probably worth it. Plus, I've got a body for challenges out of the deal.
Fair enough.
I mean, that said, you know, if we're moving on to ratings, I'm still probably not giving it over like a C because it's just not, you know, quite as powerful as some of those cards we're using as our guidelines. But it's a very respectable C, I think.
Yeah, I'm also going to go ahead and give him a C, mainly because you have to discard him, which, I mean, it makes sense, but it would be nice if you could one for one, so your opponent plays that location or triggers it. Even your opponent triggers that location, you trigger that to cancel it, you discard both the location and the guy. But since it doesn't do that, yeah, I'll give him a C as well.
Yeah, I think he's definitely fine. I'll give him a D plus, just because I'm feeling a little generous today, but I don't think he'll be in most decks. Choke, I could definitely see him, but aside from that, I think Greyjoy has plenty of other... I mean, if you're looking for a cheap weenie, you have plenty of other options.
Might come in handy in a black sales deck.
Fair enough. All right. William,
you're sure up. Thing. We've got the Iron Fleet Scout. This one's a Greyjoy location.
Oh.
One cost, it's a warship, and I think Daryl might need to change his pants.
Absolutely
yeah.
does.
Yeah, dude.
As a challenges action, pay one gold to turn Iron Fleet Scout into a character with two strengths, a military icon and a power icon, each with a naval enhancement on it, until the end of the phase. And, you know, I think Clue's probably going to have to join you in changing pants there,
yeah.
Daryl.
Yeah, this is... Oh my gosh. I love this card. This is a great... This is a monumental moment in the LCG world. This is great. I love this card.
I hate to say it, but I think I do agree with Daryl. I know character light decks or character less decks were an archetype that kind of developed as a surprise to some folks in the CCG days, and several people really loved that kind of quirkiness, and they've been hoping for such a possibility to return to the game, and this is exactly the kind of card that that deck needs.
Yeah, this card is pretty awesome. I'll admit.
Yeah, it's just really rad. I love everything about it. I love that you're paying a gold and you're getting two strength because, I mean, you put in two gold, so I love it. I don't know what else to say. I can't wait to see this card be played.
I mean, that ratio keeps going down as the game goes, Daryl, yeah. But for that first turn, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and you don't have to use them every turn, so.
Right.
And for different effects where you kneel a warship to do something, he can still do that. So it's really great.
There's not a particular restriction other than it be during challenges, so you can let him sit there while your opponent's making challenges, then turn him into a character once he's safe from military claim, and, you know, obviously all the stuff where he's safe from Valor and Westeros bleeds and any number of things. I'm looking forward to this. I think between this and possibly even the event that we got that turns warships into characters for a turn, it might be time to try that super reset characterless Greyjoy deck. So
be awesome.
Yeah, I dig this for maybe bringing a new deck type to the game.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Bravo.
So what do you give it for a rating, though, Daryl?
I give it an A.
Shocking, that one.
I love it. I think from the fun factor perspective, it deserves an A. You know, is it going to be the difference between you winning and losing a game? I don't know. You know, it doesn't have any crazy keywords or anything, but just the ability to just turn into a location and change into a character when you want, and it has those naval enhancements for your black sails decks and whatnot, it's just a blast. So I got to give it an A. I love it.
I'm going to give it a B minus. I think it is going to see a lot of play. Like Will said, every time you use it, it does get progressively weaker and weaker and weaker. To the point where it's just fiscally unviable over several turns. You might as well have just played a character, you know, assuming you are on Greyjoy with saves.
Well, yeah, unless you're playing Westeros Bleeds.
Fair enough. If you're playing a very specific deck, it's different.
Right. Which makes the rating kind of tough, because I think it's going to be an all-star in that type of deck, and pretty meh in other decks. But I think I'm going to give it quite a nod, because I think it's going to allow those decks to maybe be viable now. So I'm probably giving it a B.
Coolio?
Yeah.
Moving on?
It's a blast. Let's move on.
And to Barrowland. First up is the Lysini Pirate. It is a 2-cost, non-unique Baratheon character. With 2 strength, a military icon with a naval enhancement, and the smuggler trait. And a response, after you win a challenge which Lysini Pirate was declared as a naval attacker or defender, it claims 1 power.
You know, it's alright. It's like a pseudo-renown on a cheap dude.
Which does have the smuggler trait, which is moderately relevant.
Yeah. I mean, it is nice that he's a cheap smuggler for Salador, of course.
Mm-hmm. Until you use him with Salador, and then he's an expensive smuggler.
Well, right, he is. Yeah. But you want to start with a cheap one. You don't want to start with an expensive one, because then it becomes unplayable.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems perfectly reasonable. Nice for Black Sails to get things rolling and with the naval enhancement and all. You know, not terribly exciting, but kind of rounds out a couple different themes at once.
I just can't get behind this card. There's just not enough smuggler tech. I mean, they're starting to become more and more like smuggler tech and whatnot, but I just, the 2-cost spot in a Barra deck right now is really tough, and I just can't see running these cats. And running them for Solidor just seems redunk. Solidor's ability is decent, but man, two extra gold to blow something up, it's got to be worth it, man. I just don't really dig these guys.
Yeah, I'm feeling probably a D on this guy. He'll make a smuggler deck, and maybe a Barra Black Sails deck, but I really don't think that even the Barra Black Sails deck would need it.
Yeah, I'm probably somewhere in a similar range. I don't know. like a C minus to a, maybe just a D plus. There is that one deck that is probably going to want him, maybe another one every once in a while, but he's definitely going to be passed over in basically anything else in Baratheon, and he just doesn't push something new and exciting and kind of in kind of the same way as the Greyjoy location we were just talking about. So
yeah.
I don't give him quite that same vote of confidence.
Yeah, I just think he needs another icon. I think if you put a power icon on this guy, he becomes pretty rad. There's just not much more I could say. He needs another icon. He needs another icon, and then I could totally see him being played, maybe even splashed in for that naval action, but I'm going to give him a D as well. I just don't think he does enough.
All right. Next up.
Next up, we have Corain Seth Mantis.
Seth Mantis. I don't know how you pronounce it, honestly.
I don't know. Sounds fine.
Seth Mantis sounds cooler, so we're going to go with that. He's a unique character. He has 3 cost. He's a military and intrigue icon with a naval enhancement on the intrigue icon. He has the smuggler and captain trait, and he reads, smuggler characters gain stealth.
Dale, you're not batting very well done. He's also a Baratheon character, and he has 2 strength.
Oh, yeah. God, that's because I'm... Yeah.
Keep trying.
I hate you guys.
Yeah, I actually do kind of date this guy.
For what it's worth...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was just going to say, for what it's worth, I spoke to Greg briefly before we recorded, and he really digs this guy, too.
Yeah. Passing out stealth to a lot of potential characters... is pretty good. I heard stealth is a pretty popular keyword these days with amongst the youth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll definitely pump up your smugglers for sure, which in turn makes that that guy we just looked at better.
A little bit,
not a lot. I dig a little bit. Still 3 for 2, that's tough.
One flame kiss,
and that bitch is gone.
That's true. I mean, I think it's less tough nowadays. I mean, Flame Kiss will take care of him, but Venafli doesn't see much play, so.
Agreed. And, you know, that 3 for 2 means he dodges for snow, which is kind of seeing less play at the moment now because Knights of the Hollow Hill is seeing less play, but.
I think for snow is still super relevant.
Yeah, it's still an okay place to be, I think, especially when you have an ability like that I think is going to wind up counting for more than just, say, one more strength would, as far as being relevant in challenges. I don't know. At a guess, what, one character with strength is as good as one with... Or, sorry, one character with stealth, not strength, is as good as, what, 3 strength in a challenge? Not counting its own strength, just kind of the average of what it's going to be stealthing around?
Something like that. I don't know. I haven't thought about it really.
Yes.
What I do like is that these cats work well with Massey's hook. So, like, that's cool. You can add him in as an intrigue guy and stand him or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of cool.
You know what I don't like about this guy? Is that the Vera fleet that's a smuggler is already a stealth.
Yeah.
Womp womp.
That is a bummer. But he does finish giving Baratheon kind of a nice spread of where their naval enhancements are.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
As far as which icon. So that's good. They're not getting stuck like, say, Targaryen, where essentially everything is on the power icon.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of limits your possibilities.
All right. So ratings, everyone?
Yeah.
I will give him a B. Because I like that intrigue icon. that's really why. He's 3 for 2 strength with stealth, but he gives Bera an intrigue icon with stealth. That's pretty rad.
I mean, that is actually relevant in Bera.
Not the sort of thing they get often.
No. Even still, then, I think I'm just going to give him a C. He's just a pretty average character all around. Maybe a C+, just because he is an intrigue icon with stealth in Bera.
See, I'm looking at giving him a C+, but I think for a different reason. With that smuggler character's gain stealth, I think he kind of helps pull that smuggler deck, so to speak, together. He's not great, but I think he's going to be a nice little bit of glue. Though it's worth noting, he will give opposing smugglers stealth as well.
William, you're up with a card that should look a little familiar.
Yeah, I think it's Willa Manderly all over again, huh?
Yeah. And we've talked about her, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, yeah, like that.
Yeah, the official 2 Champs, 1 Chump spoiler.
Yeah, so it may not be worth rehashing all of it that we said about her, but at least if you're wondering what she does, she's a 1 cost, 1 strength start character with a power icon and a naval enhancement, it looks like, on it. Mm-hmm. She's a lady in House Manderly. She is stalwart. And while she's defending and there's at least one attacking ally or traitor, she gets +3 strength. Also, I may not have really focused on this before when we talked about her, but she has green hair, it looks like.
Yes.
Which seems unusual. I don't really remember mention of green hair in the novels.
I don't know.
I'm down.
DTF?
Yeah, I'll drink that coffee.
All right, so I know we talked about her a couple weeks ago, so I think we can skip most of our debates about Ms. Manderly here, so let's just jump right into ratings.
Okay, I'm good with that. What are you going to rate her?
I can't remember what I rated her last time. But
I don't think we did rate her.
Did we not rate
her? I don't think we did when we previewed.
Yeah, I'll give her a C, because I think that she'll be in most, well, maybe not most, the majority of Stark decks, just because that's a sweet unique with a sweet strength buff ability, so she gets a C.
I'm gonna go D plus. The only reason I think she would even see play is because she has 1 cost.
Yeah,
that's good.
I mean, 1 cost, unique lady. There's definitely some application there. Depending on how your meta looks, if there's a ton of allies floating around, she definitely gets better. Man, I don't know if I can give her a great rating though. I'm feeling the D myself.
Alright. Next up, still staying in Stark, we have White Harbor, a 2-cost unique location with the North trait. And the text challenges Neil White Harbor to choose a character controlled by an opponent with 6 or more power on his or her house card. Until the end of the phase, that character cannot be saved, and ignores any effect that would make it cannot be killed. The Bear Killer. The Red Harbor Killer.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't really know about Varric exactly.
Because... I said Varric.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
It does nothing against Varric.
Okay. Yes, since they won't have any power on their house.
Yeah. Card.
So, you know, there's just not that many cannot-be-killed characters floating around. Really pretty much just the power of blood that this is going to interact with.
Mm-hmm. I mean, also the saves. so it's also pretty good against... decent against Grey Dwarf.
Yeah.
I don't want to say this card is ever pretty good.
Fair enough. Yeah, you just have to let him get, you know, roughly halfway, slightly over a third of the way to the victory before this turns on. Yeah.
I'm not digging great. This. Like, for 2 cost, man, I mean, I just feel like in the game, you want locations that are going to work for you right then and there. You don't want locations that are going to work, you know, late game. I just can't get behind this. I mean, a Frozen Outpost costs 2 gold. Whitehober Drummond costs 2 gold. Come on. This isn't good enough. This doesn't do anything to my opponent, really. I mean, I guess if I have a kill effect, I can kneel this to choose a character with a bunch of dupes on him. I mean, that would be pretty awesome. But that's it at its best.
I mean, I think that's what the card is supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not good enough.
I don't particularly disagree.
It's going to be pretty flaky.
Maybe. When it works, it'll be really nice, but it won't do much most of the time.
Yeah. Maybe if you've got those specific decks running rampant in your particular meta, this will see a little play. Maybe. But it's not just the sort of average good card that people throw in normally.
No.
Yeah, I'd say that's great for spanking Barrick, but wait, Barrick's, you know, their power isn't going to be on their house. So
Sarah, we literally had that conversation like 3 minutes ago.
I'm sorry. I've been drinking.
Daryl literally wasn't listening.
Yeah, I wasn't. Well, I heard you guys say something about Barrick, but I wasn't sure if you continued that. But anywho, it's just not enough for its cost. Zero cost, then we're talking.
All right. So when we get down to the nitty gritty, what are we thinking?
I'm feeling like a D minus. Not real enthused.
Yeah, I'm going to give it an F. I don't think anybody's going to play this.
Really? That bad?
I just don't think anyone's going to play it. That's my problem. The ability is fine, but the spot that it's taken up, a 2 gold unique location, you want it to be pretty awesome. I mean, 2 gold is the sweet spot right now for badass locations, you know? I just don't see it. You know, a scouting vessel, a frozen outpost, the Dromund, I mean, there's a number of sweet things. I just don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mostly agree. I think I'm just going to give it a regular old D, though.
Okay. Seems reasonable enough to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Next up,
yep.
We have a Martell card. Woot woot. It is Planky Town Orphan. It is 1 cost, 1 strength. It has an intrigue icon and the ally trait, and it reads response. After you play Planky Town Orphan from your hand, reveal the top card of your deck. Play that card as your next action this phase. Otherwise, return it to the top of your deck.
I'm actually digging this guy.
Really? Mm-hmm. Man, I'm not that much, but tell me a little bit more about why you are digging him.
I mean, people love Val. He's a one-shot Val that doesn't get rid of the card if you just can't happen to not play it at that time. I mean, he's basically quasi-card draw. I mean, he's clearly not as good as drawing a card or getting that top card, but he gives you the option to play with the top card of your deck for effectively nothing, and he comes with a body. I'm not saying he's a spectacular card, but I am digging him.
He feels kind of related to Val, except for it's not going to discard that card, so that is kind of nifty.
Yeah, Daryl, I just said that.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just repeating what you said, okay. Just to say that was kind of nifty. Okay. I'm sorry. I will stop adding to the conversation. I'm sorry.
You know, I mean, I guess it's okay that it doesn't hit the draw cap, and you could combo it with a Herald, but by that point, you're already spending 3 gold that turn on these characters, so you're probably going to get something else in the 2 to 3, maybe 4 range, depending on your gold, but I wouldn't say you're usually, you know, going and getting the Red Viper or the Viper's Bannerman and dropping them on the top of your deck to use with that combo. And, you know, otherwise, there's just not a great way to really guarantee what he does. Martell is a house that really likes their events, and most of them have such specific timing that they're almost certainly going to be duds if you hit on them with him.
And then they just stay on top of your deck and you draw them normally.
Yeah, but now you've announced it to your opponent. You know, Martell likes their opponent to not know, you know, if there's a Red Vengeance in their hand or not.
If my Martell opponent has 2 influence standing, I always assume they have Red Vengeance.
Fair enough.
Unless I've seen all 3.
He doesn't really work with setup. I don't know. I mean, I guess you could make the argument if you play him on setup, he's sort of drawing you a card anyway because it's an extra, you know, 1 down. But I don't know. I just feel like I'd be looking for my card advantage elsewhere in Martell.
Fair enough. What do you think on this guy?
Here's my question. Never mind.
What's your question?
I was just going to say, why? There's a lot of effects I've seen. Well, they're pretty new, but they're Martell, where it's like reveal it, play it, otherwise put it back on top. I think there was a Martell army in the last pack. And why do you have to reveal it? Why can't you just look at it, play it, or just put it back on top?
Because then if you didn't want to play it and your opponent doesn't know what it was, they can't call you on it. This way, you mean you have to play it. You have to play it.
Yeah,
if you have the ability to.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
No cheating.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe less cheating, at least.
Yeah. I just think that the stock would go up a little more if you didn't have to reveal that card. But I get you. I see where you guys are coming from. That makes sense.
All right. So, ratings, what are we thinking?
Yeah, I'm feeling like a D, like the quintessential example card we used for the D rating, the collectors. You know, it kind of looks cool. It looks like some card advantage, but somehow I just don't think it's ever going to make the cut. For me, anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to give that card an F. I just don't think it's going to be played.
Wow, geez, Daryl.
I just don't ever think... Hey, I hope I'm wrong. Somebody break this card. I love being wrong. But I just don't think it's going to be played.
I know, I think this guy's fine. I'm not going to give him much higher than a C minus. Maybe a C on a good day, but I mean, I think he's fine. He's definitely not an F.
He doesn't do anything.
Except
nothing. Perhaps make you spend gold you wouldn't want to.
I mean, is Val an F card?
God, Val rules, though. Val lets you do it three times. This guy just comes into play and could potentially do nothing. I just don't like him.
Yeah, I think Val's in a pretty different league. I'll say that much.
Moving on.
Sure.
Is it my turn?
I think it's Will.
Oh, okay.
It's me?
All right.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Salty Dornishman. Again, a Martell character. He's a 3 cost, 3 strength ally with 0 icons, however. And he has a challenge's ability, kneel 1 influence to choose 1 icon. Until the end of the phase, Salty Dornishman gains that icon with a naval enhancement on it.
Well, the Martell players shut up about not being able to play with the naval enhancements.
Yeah, he at least gets them in the game there, so to speak.
Although, to be fair, I've literally never made a naval challenge or defended with a naval character.
Really? Oh, wow.
So it's not a big deal, guys.
Well, sounds like a problem for you.
Not really.
You know, he's all right. If you do want to try out the whole Black Sails thing, he's one of your best bets in Martell. And he is flexible, which is nice. A lot of houses don't quite have that same flexibility in where their naval enhancements are.
I mean, I guess naval enhancement, you try to force it to be a thing out of Martell. Otherwise, I would say play a skin changer.
That's actually exactly what I was thinking. I wish you didn't have that influence cost.
Right.
I think being similar to skin changer with the ally trait is fine. Would have fine.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. You're completely right, dude. Unless you're playing a Black Sails deck, you might as well just have a skin changer.
Or maybe something else entirely. Because I'll be honest, I'm trying out Black Sails in Martell, I don't think I'll mess with this one.
Fair enough. So, I don't think there's much more to this guy. What do we think?
F. No one's going to play that. Why would you play that? Why not use a Prince's Wrath to take someone's icons instead of giving this guy a shitty one? He's a cost ally, guys.
I mean, he's not a good character for his cost or anything, but I'm kind of loath to give characters Fs because they can still probably participate in challenges and can still die for claim. But sure, I'm definitely feeling like a D.
I'm going D plus just because of the potential of Martell Black Sails. I think that may one day be a thing, just to set up like your gas and Greylocks faster. You know, be able to search out a noble you need just from running the Whatchamadobble naval challenge.
Whatchamadobble.
What it's called. Official name. But yeah, I'm not gonna go much higher than that. He's not a particularly good card.
Nope.
Alright. So I'm up, still in Martell. We have Seracletus Ironwood. I always pronounce it Ironwood, but I've heard a lot of people pronounce it Ironwood, so I'm willing to go with that. He's a 3 cost, 2 strength military power icon with the Lord and Knight trait. He has melee and renown. And if you are running a non-character agenda, treat Seracletus Ironwood's printed text box as if it were blank. And then a response, after Cercletus Ironwood is killed, draw two cards. So another friend for Archibald and Drink.
Yeah. And Quentin, by extension.
And fair enough, yeah.
I mean, holy cow, that deck is getting a lot of, like, solid three-cost bicons with good keywords that all happen to include Renown.
Mm-hmm.
Martell is getting pushed to be a pretty Renown and Rush-heavy house over the last couple sets. And that feels really awkward to me.
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I'm cool with it. Gives them a pretty awesome melee build, so.
I'm not sure it's just going to be melee. You know, they're getting a lot more uniques now, which makes Quentin cooler and cooler.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's one of the viable character agendas, maybe the most viable.
I think I would probably say most, yeah.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I piggybacked on that guy at Gen Con Melee last year. It was awesome. It was really fun. So.
But yeah, I mean, he's definitely a fine card in that deck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And trash in anything else.
Trash? So. Well,
yes,
yeah.
It'd be blank.
I mean, What about the non-agenda deck? No agenda. That's possible.
It is. I don't think I would ever run that over just a Quentin deck.
Yeah, agreed. But, hey, interesting new little theme for Martell with these characters that give you an effect for them dying. Kind of a weird little twist on their
revenge
thing.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool as far as the thought goes.
What do we think on this guy?
I'm going to give him a C, because I think in a Quentin deck he's pretty rad, but other than that, nah.
See, in a similar vein, I'm going to give him a D, because he is only rad in that deck.
Yeah.
And most decks aren't Quentin decks, I feel like, as far as Martell decks go.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, I have to agree with Red on that one. And even in the Quentin deck, he's unfortunately, I think, the kind of character that you only want to run one copy of. Because you're actually kind of encouraged to let him die.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Daryl, what's up next?
Moving on. Next is Ser Raleigh Duckfield. He is a unique Targaryen character. He is 3 cost, 3 strength. He has a military and power icon with a naval enhancement on the power icon. He has the Knight and Kingsguard trait. And he reads, while you control a lord or lady character, Ser Raleigh Duckfield cannot be discarded from play.
Is it just me, or is Targaryen getting a lot of these cannot be discarded guys?
They're getting a lot. I don't know if it looks this way to you, but it looks pretty much like FFG is telling us to build the Westeros Bleeds deck.
Yeah.
And, you know, I built that deck back, now I'm trying to think, I believe that was the Gen Con melee that Fox borrowed it from me and used it in.
Mm-hmm. And that was the World's Melee.
It was the World's Melee, okay.
I think so.
I couldn't remember for sure which one. You know, and at the time, it was Barrack and things like that to kind of round out your characters that wouldn't leave play. And now they have some awesome additions to that sort of build. I would not be surprised to see that floating around. And, you know, that's certainly a strong option for Knights of the Hollow Hill builds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and even ignoring that, I mean, he's a well-costed character, nothing spectacular, but 3 cost, 3 strength, 2 icons, naval enhancement, a couple good traits.
Yeah, but once again, that naval enhancement is just on the power icon, which is a really inefficient place for it to be. If you want to, you know, try out black sails anyway. If you just want to use it over the course of a turn, it's fine.
Yeah, I don't really have much else to say about this guy.
Well, what do you think he is rating wise?
I'm gonna give him a C, maybe a D, probably a D. Let's just go ahead and make him a D right now. There's not enough support, I think, for his traits really out of Targaryen, and the ability is really not Well, not that great. I guess he can't be discarded by Jorah. I guess that's cool.
We Dario.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
But fair enough. And that's moderately relevant.
Yeah. Yeah.
William?
I'm feeling a C. Like you said, you know, reasonable cost and strength and stats and everything. And there's the potential to get some better use out of him in a couple particular decks. So, you know, he's all right. Nothing to write home about.
Yeah, I'm going to give him I'm going C minus. I think he might get, as a one of splash in a couple of decks. I really wish he had just a printed keyword. Stealth or Deadliers. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just a little something extra.
Ambush.
Ambush, yeah.
One thought that did strike me just now, though, to wrap that up is Targ's also getting quite a few knights lately.
Yeah,
are they to the point where they could be doing some kind of Knights of the Realm stuff? I don't know.
I don't know if it's that close.
I mean, they can kill off opposing knights easily, so.
Yeah, true.
They might be able to win that race.
I don't know. Maybe they should have played Long Voyage instead.
Yeah, yeah. Almost certainly.
But that's the conversation for another episode.
Agreed. We'll have lots of things to back up that conversation, I'm sure.
Yes, we will. All right, William, speaking of you.
Yeah. Got another Targaryen card. This one is an attachment, rather. It is Blood Magic Ritual. It's one cost, and it is a Shadows card. House Targaryen only. And response, after Blood Magic Ritual comes out of Shadows, choose a non-army character in your dead pile and put it into play. Attach Blood Magic Ritual to it. If Blood Magic Ritual leaves play, kill attached character.
This card is pimpin'.
I think it's freaking cool, too.
With a capital P, capital Impin.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that it has to be a non-army character. Not that all that many armies can take attachments anyway, but still, there's a load of room for you to splash cool out-of-house stuff. If you can find a way to get it in your dead pile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, recursion's always neat. It's fun.
Yeah. I don't know. And I know that To Be a Dragon was kind of coming back in a lot of the Targ decks. Like this was the Bruno Hassepain deck and a couple others. And I think this might just kind of replace that.
Yeah.
It's not dependent on one of your seven plots. You don't have any army characters you'd want to bring back anyway, except for like maybe Long Lances.
Yeah, and it can
set plenty of other options.
Barely safely in Shadows until whenever you need it.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, with Tinlink gone, attachments are pretty much playable right now.
Yeah.
There's not nearly as much chance that it's going to get discarded and thus re-kill the character that you brought back.
Unless the character is just killed normally, in which case it would go away either way.
Right, right. Yeah, in which case the character's already moribund dead, so when the Blood Magic Ritual becomes moribund discard, it won't change anything.
Yeah, we're... Yeah.
So, yeah, I dig it all around. If I had to put a rating on it, though, I'm feeling like a B. I think it's in a similar class to some of the cool stuff that Baratheon's got lately. It doesn't give... sweet keyword, like Vigilant, like, what's their shadow event? Yeah, like Fiery Kiss does, but it also doesn't, for sure remove the character at the end of the phase, so, kind of some trade-offs there, but I dig it.
Yeah, Fiery Kiss is a really good parallel to this, and that it doesn't give the little immediate buff, but you have longevity with it. And I'd probably also stick it right in the B range. I think it's going to see some good play.
Yeah, I'm also going to give it a B. I'd like to make some type of Shadows deck, with a Kingdom of Shadows, or City of Shadows, rather, agenda, and run that and have some fun with that, and Shadows Tyrion and stuff. I think that'd be a blast.
Play with a little bit of a Stark element and bring have your mirror read. And
then there you go.
Rack into Shadows to get the agenda off, to get the attachment off of it, so you can bring her back out.
Sure. All kinds of stuff, so it's going to be a fun card, I think.
I agree.
Yeah.
So I'm up next? Is that it?
I think so.
All right, next up we have a unique event specifically, which is the second of these we've ever seen. as far as unique events.
The other one's an epic battle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is guided by Quaithe. It is House Targaryen only. And the text, any phase, put a character or location card from your hand into Shadows as if it had the Shadows Crest. And then attach guided by Quaithe to it. Cast as a condition attachment with the text, pay the printed gold cost of the attached card to put it into play as your Shadows action. If guided by Quaithe becomes unattached, return attached card to its owner's hand if it is still in Shadows. So for my Magic background, I learned a pretty good rule of thumb. If a card has this much text, it's probably bad, unless it's spectacular.
And is this spectacular?
Right now I'm leaning towards bad, but I could definitely be wrong. There may be just some terribly, just atrociously broken combo that would take advantage of it.
Yeah. You know, since I don't have the chapter pack yet, since I'm not in Springfield, I'm following along online. And the first comment I see about this, I don't want to just steal comments from everybody, but this is Alex Hines, and I just love the first half of his sentence here, which says, I have no idea what this card is trying to do.
Yeah.
I kind of catch the Nedley vibe, and it's a neat idea for an effect, but there is kind of that feeling like, I just read this paragraph, wait, what? You know?
Yeah. It's interesting. I bravo for giving us a pretty unique ability as far as an event goes. I mean, I don't think we've seen anything like that before.
No.
But, yeah. Surely there's something that someone can do with it, but I just don't know what that is yet. But
oh yeah, no, I completely agree.
The best thought I have is if you have a card in your hand that you desperately don't want to lose on intrigue, then in the middle of the intrigue challenge, you could put that card into Shadows with Guided by Quaithe attached to it and keep it safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is literally the best thing I've thought of, and that is not great.
Yeah, like I said, pretty terrible unless it just automatically just suddenly becomes spectacular and completely broken.
Yeah.
Cards with this much text, I feel like, usually are in that category.
I hope so. Otherwise, you...
I mean, yeah. I don't really hope so. I think I'd rather just prefer for it to just be bad.
So how bad do you think it is, Brett?
I'm not going to give it an F because it could... It has a effect that if the card is in my deck, I would probably trigger it, unlike a lot of the other F cards, or at least cards that I would consider F cards. So I'm gonna give it a D.
I think I've got to go with an F. I can't come up with a good way to use it. You know, maybe every house is gonna get an F card at some point. Maybe this is Tark's.
You know, I'm gonna give it a D. I just don't know what is out of Targaryen that you'd want to do this with. I don't know. I'm just gonna give it a D and move on. I have no idea. I just don't know.
Alright, moving on. Durrell.
Oh, yeah. Next up, we have a neutral location. It is Dagger Lake Galley. I was just going to say Dagger Lake. But Dagger Lake Galley, it is one cost, and it's a warship, a neutral warship. That's fun. And it has the text, any phase, kneel Dagger Lake Galley, to choose a unique character you control. That character gains a naval enhancement on the icon of your choice until the end of the phase.
Yay, Black Sails.
It sure does do something with the Black Sails.
Man, that's about it.
That is a... One it, more... Yeah.
It does maybe finally make Black Sails viable, though.
Yeah, I mean, out of
people
every
have been trying it for a while, but I think maybe this is going to be the card that kicks it off and, you know, actually makes it relevant, maybe, is what I should be saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a mini White Harbor Droman, and it turns out from playing, the Droman is pretty dang good.
It doesn't give renown.
It doesn't give renown.
And it gives the naval enhancement to all the icons of the character.
Yeah, it's a very poor comparison to White Armor Drill, and I'd rather have that 100% of the time.
In a Lannister deck?
Or yeah, a run the deck? Alliance plot, dog.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I will give it props for the fact that it's gonna give your characters naval enhancements if you're running Black Sails. And it is any phase. You can do it in the epic phase if you need to, which rules.
Which you can't do with the drill, and that's a good point, Daryl.
Yeah. But, man, I will say the search for Black Sails is pretty rad. You know, that agenda is on the cusp of something sweet, but I just don't know this card standalone. Like, come on.
All right, so what are we thinking?
I'll give it a C. I think that in a Black Sails deck, it is still an okay card. It's cool to get that when you don't have any naval enhanced characters on the board. But outside of that, not really.
See, for that exact same logic, I'm going to give it a D. Like exactly what you said. In a Black Sails deck, it is okay.
I think it's going to be better than okay in a Black Sails deck for a number of reasons that I went over with Greg for a while last episode. But basically, it gives a lot of flexibility to be able to actually win challenges with a naval character to trigger the Black Sails. Now, I mean, it's really only good still in that build, so I don't feel like I can give it better than like a C tops. Probably more like a C minus since it's pretty much just that build. But I think it's going to be pretty darn solid in those decks.
Solid? All right.
Yeah, if you want to actually be able to search for stuff, I think this is going to be very useful.
All right. Moving on?
Yep, moving on. Will, I think you're up.
Okay. Well, this is going to be the first of these sweet new prayer events.
Mm-hmm, I dig these.
Anointed by the Mother, this is any house except Lannister. Response, kneel to influence or kneel a holy character to cancel a triggered effect that would cause a player to draw one or more cards. Instead, you draw that number of cards. It's cool. Of course, the concept of being all five houses and just excluding one house is an interesting little evolution of the house X only mechanic or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I dig that it's pushing holy characters some more because that's one of my favorite things in the game.
Yeah, influence and holy characters.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure if influence needs much more help, but definitely holy characters.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's the flexibility is nice.
Oh, yeah. I'm not begrudging that at all.
Yeah. Now, on the other hand, how often am I going to include this in a deck? Pretty much never, I think.
Yeah, I think this is probably one of the weakest of the prayers.
I think if you're running out in a hardcore Martell Knights of the Hollow Hill environment where they're putting in those bitchin' flea bottom scavengers, that would be awesome. That'd be a good FU, man. But outside of that, I don't see much.
I mean,
much
that's good. That's really the only card that sees much play that draws more than one card just off of a single card's triggered effect.
Well, potentially, Pyromancer's Cash sees a lot of play and frequently draws two. Yeah, I think that's actually the sweet spot for what you're going to get. Anointed by the Mother means that you've got to have either the influence of the holy character for sure in hand. Like, at the beginning of the game. Or, sorry, you've got to have the influence or the holy character in play at the start of the game. And Anointed by the Mother in hand. Because, you know, unless it's in a Brotherhood deck, the scavengers are pretty much only drawing on first turn.
Yeah.
So I really think that Pyromancer's Cash is where it's at. Because it's the sort of thing that's going to keep going turn after turn. Which gives you that flexibility.
Enough. Yeah, I had forgotten the cash because I can't remember the last time I've seen anyone play one.
Yeah. Or if, doggone it, if Qyburn's Informers would just ever be playable.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to happen.
Four for two. Aren't they allies also?
Yeah.
Yeah. What happens if you play a Dragon's Tale and you choose your opponent to draw two cards? Can you then play this to cancel it and then you draw three cards? Just because there's a draw cap?
Wait, what? You cancel the whole effect.
Yeah.
Okay, so you would just draw two cards then?
No one would draw anything.
But
you cancel the effect.
But no. It says instead you draw that number of cards.
So you would draw two.
Yeah.
Oh,
fair. Yeah.
You would spend two cards.
You would draw two cards. Yourself.
Yeah. Basically. Of course, yeah. You're also out the influence or character that you knelt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that is a terrible
thing. Okay. I just wasn't sure if you could cancel your opponent from drawing those two and then, get that extra card. Basically get it to replace itself. I don't know.
Yeah, no, you would just get two out of it because it cancels the whole effect, so you won't get your normal two draw.
Okay.
So, ratings, what are we thinking?
This one's not great. It's like a D.
I'm feeling pretty similar on it, honestly. Maybe probably a D-, honestly.
Yeah.
It's also going to see a D. I think the majority of the cards that are played these days have like a stagnant effect that's going to get you an extra card, like TLV or Golden Tooth Mines. So, nah.
All right. Yep. So, next up, it's to me, right?
I believe so.
Yes.
Okay. A card that I feel is way better than Anointed by the Mother, Judged by the Father. It is, again, a prayer. It is any house except Targaryen and any phase. Kneel two influence or kneel a Holy Crest character to choose a character with strength 3 or less in your dead pile and return it to your hand.
God damn.
More recursion in the pack.
Ridiculous.
You gotta love that.
Yeah. Lets you play hard and fast with your uniques that maybe you are running extra copies of. Because if you're running influence or Holy Crest characters, you can just get them back. Is 3 or less.
Maybe get somebody back like, I don't know, Mr. Ironwood from this pack?
Yeah, potentially.
Get back your Cersei?
That's actually, I have a Lanny Paramount card Holy Crest deck, influenced by the guy that won the Austin Regional, that this card is probably going to slot right into. It lets me play really aggressive with my Cerseis.
Get that Doubting Septa? No big deal. This bitch is going to die anyways.
Yeah,
it's great, man. This card is pretty awesome. I like it.
It's a pretty sweet oops button all around.
Yeah. And it can bring back that Quentin that you gain
power. Yeah.
Yep.
That's rad.
No, I mean it brings stuff back to hand though.
Yeah, so it could be better.
So, you've still got that resource outlay and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I mean it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. So on this one, I'm thinking a B minus probably, just because of that it does bring it back to hand. But letting you, like Will said, he has an oops button, I think I would just rather just play more aggressive with my characters and force my opponents to valor early and then recover from it.
Yeah, I'm also gonna give it a B because it's no Iron Fleet Scout or whatever. Whatever I gave an A earlier today too.
I think you did give that to the scout.
It's
you
a really B. I think it's. I think that this card though it's rad. It's cool for getting back those key characters. I mean, it'll get you back a Red Viper, man. Come on.
It will.
Yeah. So, definitely give it a solid B.
It's pretty cool. I think I'm only feeling like a C plus or so. You need fairly specific resources to be able to play it, and some other things that I mentioned there. I'm just feeling like a C plus.
All right, Daryl, the last prayers for this pack.
Next up, we've got Nurtured by the Crone. It is another one of these neutral events. It is also a prayer, and it reads: any house except Martell. Nurtured by the Crone cannot be canceled. Response, kneel two influence or kneel a Holy Crest character to cancel a triggered effect that chooses a unique character or location as its only target.
Guys, I love cancels.
Oh, man, yeah.
Tits. I actually think this is much better than Judged by the Father.
Ooh.
Yeah, I honestly forgot it was the next card up because I actually agree with that.
This, I think, is going to stop a lot of problems before your character ever leaves play in order to keep that pressure up, which I think is going to be a little better than getting it back to hand and then replaying it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, cancels are can be a real pain in the ass.
Especially cancels that can't be canceled.
Yeah, I used to play an awful lot with an Uber Tywin Lannister deck in the CCG era, and one of the key cards was an event called Put to the Question, mm-hmm. which canceled something that targeted a unique character or location, and it couldn't be canceled. Now, it itself was free at the time, but it was still crazy. Nurtured by the Crone is, I think, much more appropriately costed, but I still think it's going to be real good.
Yeah, a spiritual successor to that, probably.
Agreed.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool card.
So, what are we thinking?
Solid B from this end. Solid B. Love it.
I'll actually exactly echo that. It is a solid B. Put to the question is absolutely an A, I think. Nurtured by the Crone, since it is better costed, obviously makes it worse, but it's still strong.
Yeah, yeah. The costing kind of limits you some there. It's definitely going to dictate a good bit of deck building if you do want to take advantage of this. But I just know it's a really strong effect. So I'm going to give it like a B plus, just to be a smidge different from you guys.
Man, yeah. If it didn't have a cost, it would be an A. Anyhow.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, stretch, guys. What's up next?
Who is up next?
I just went, so...
It's Will.
It's me? Will.
Oh, okay.
It's you.
Looks like we have an event. This one is neutral, so to speak. Desperate Measures. It's a small council event, and any phase, kneel one influence to search the top five cards of your deck. Reveal one of those cards and add it to your hand. Then discard the other searched cards. This is awesome.
Holy shit balls. Shit balls, spaghetti biscuits. Good lord.
I love it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, dude, I just want to pour gravy on it and slather it in dirty sexual lies. It's so good.
I mean, it's not the end-all, be-all, but I mean, I am a heavy Shaga player, and this is like a Shaga card's dream. Search the top five cards of your deck for whatever you need to make your combo go off. Perfect.
Yeah. Between that and much and more, you're really getting deep in there.
I mean, I honestly probably like Desperate Measures more than much and more, because you're not giving your opponent the card. Even if you are even if you are losing more cards, I mean, unless they're in your hand, they're not doing any good anyway, so they might as well be in your discard pile.
I can see that logic.
Yeah, I mean, as far as something being shuffled back in and being on the bottom or wherever versus being discarded, in most games that's, you know, 6 of 1, half dozen of the other. It doesn't really matter at all.
Yeah,
Unless you can take advantage of it. In which
That's
case,
true.
This gets great.
Yeah, even better then.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's disheartening to see, like, oh man, I love that character. Oh man, that card would really help make it discarded. But I mean, while it's on top of your deck, it's not doing any good either, so.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's really good. I think much more could be awesome, though, for setting up the rule by decree against your opponent, which this one's not going to do. And it has an influence cost, but again, you're not giving your opponent a card. You're able to thin through there, and there's definitely some houses that can abuse the fact that you're putting cards in your discard pile.
Oh yeah, Baratheon. I'm going to love that in my reanimator.
Yeah, Baratheon.
Or any Baratheon deck playing Melisandre Schemes.
Even select Targaryen decks are going to be able to abuse it. Like, mm-hmm. goodness,
Street Wafen.
Yeah, Wafen, or recruitment
on the plains or recruiting.
Ambush. So, and Mel's scheme, and there's just so many things. So, I think this is a really cool card. I like it. It's for dunk.
As long as we're talking about card interactions, the Prince's Plans is also...
Pick out the one card you want, and then
think
get
about
the other
that.
Back.
Good lord. Yeah.
This card's really good.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it would take you 5 influence to do that, and you'd be trading 2 cards to gain 3 more above mm-hmm. what you started at. You know, it's not the most efficient thing.
No.
But But in combination with this and the new location the Martell got, I'm blanking on the name now.
The Shores of the Summer Sea?
Where you can shuffle back. Like, yeah, you can tailor what those top four cards
you
are.
You got Hota to pop some more cards in your discard pile if you want to.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, but yeah, if the Martell self-mill deck ever becomes a thing, this will absolutely slot into that deck.
Oh, yeah. This will be a key part of that deck if it ever becomes a thing.
Yeah. And Small Council Joffrey can do stuff. Anyways.
Yeah.
I don't understand why, because I'm pretty sure the art is referencing Outside River Run when they were pretending to hang Edmure Tully for days upon days. I don't know what the Small Council had to do with that, but hey, it's Small Council of it.
It's something.
All right, so I'm going to treat what we're thinking.
I'm giving it a B+. It's probably not quite every deck, because you can't just slot this into your average, you know, deck that's running three Cs and a Chambers for influence. You're going to have to build a little more in than that to reliably play it, I think.
Yeah, the influence cost is prohibitive, but only barely.
Yeah. I think maybe you just start playing fiefdoms again. I feel no reason. Why not at least to put one X in there? I mean, sometimes we need to dig deep in your deck and get that one card.
And a lot of Long Voyage decks, I know I'm playing and have seen a lot of them. I mean, they're already playing fiefdoms.
Yeah,
and
I'm just...
You have even more cards in that deck to not care about getting discarded.
So. Yeah, exactly. And due to the, you know, kind of variable, the greater variability in those larger decks, the kind of relative value of being able to snag one card out of that top five that you desperately need for a certain situation, I think, goes up.
Yeah. I have to give this card an A, really. I could see a ton of application just for just plenty of decks that I'm even running now that would just like to, at times, you just want to dig deep in there. That one kill event that I need, or this dupe of this character I have, or whatever. I think there's no reason not to just try to get that. So it's an A. It's right up there with my my vessel, my fleet vessel or whatever. Just as good.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a hard B. It doesn't slot into every deck, but it will slot into a lot of them with just a little bit of alterations in the resource base.
Yeah, sounds good. I may upgrade that to an A-, I don't know.
Dude, Knights of the Hollow Hill decks will have sex with this card, I feel. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, we'll see.
Alright, next up. Maybe the most unique card in the chapter pack.
I would say that, yes.
Yep. Aurane Waters. He is 3-cost unique neutral character with 2 strength. A intrigue and a power icon, naval enhancements on both. He has the Master of Ships trait. And if you have more than one opponent, and Aurane Waters would be killed or discarded from play. Instead, Aurane Waters is added to the title pool, limit 1 per title pool. As a title, Aurane Waters gains once per round, name a challenge icon. Until the end of the phase, unique characters you control gain a naval enhancement on that icon, if able. Melee only cards.
I mean,
yeah, it's a very different effect. All he say it is inventive, which is cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool that he becomes a title.
He's a character title as opposed to a character agenda.
I just feel like the other titles give a little more.
Yes.
Than this, you know, some produce extra cards, extra resources, you know, obviously extra power on challenges. I feel like this card could have been printed the exact same, and just once per round, if you have more than one opponent, you know, choose a challenge type, your characters get, you know, the same ability, but he doesn't become a title. And even then, I feel like he might see some play like that. I feel like he should have just done a little more.
I'm largely unimpressed by him.
So, I mean, looking at him, though, I'm curious, when do you actually name that challenge icon? There's not really any clear timing on that. It's just once per round, name a challenge icon. It's not really an action. I don't know. It just feels
anytime you
kind
want,
of funky.
Buddy.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll be errated to be
so
like
any phase.
Challenge or any phase action, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I don't have much more to say about this guy. He does give a new trait to give to things in jest.
Brilliant. Like
if you have a copper link that's literally doing nothing, you might as well take advantage of it. Makes someone a master of ships.
I like the sound of that. I'm going to start handing out that title.
Any of that trait.
Lionsgate, your barrack, he becomes a master of ships. As well as a conscriptor.
Yes.
I'm going to give him a D.
William?
Yeah. I don't really get what help that's going to provide me in a melee game, even though the idea is super cool.
It's very cool.
So I think I got to give him a D as well.
I'm not even going to go that high. I'm going to give out one of my rare Fs.
Wow. Everyone's giving out an F this episode. Holy shit.
Yeah. Man, what a weird pack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff in this pack, I will say. And this card, like, for the record, it's plenty cool. It just doesn't help that much compared to the other titles, I feel.
I agree. I don't know when I would ever choose Arraign Waters over Master of Laws.
Yeah. Hell, Master of Coin, dog.
Really, any of them. Maybe over Hand of the King.
Maybe Master of Whispers. Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. Alright, last card in the pack.
Last card in
Holy
the pack.
Scratch.
Here we go. It is Manderly's Scheme. It's a plot, baby. It's a 4-3-1. It is House Stark.
Almost perfect.
Yeah, almost. It's House Stark only.
So close.
And it says, during intrigue challenges against you, your characters with a military icon gain an intrigue icon. Very interesting.
Yeah. Helps out with the Stark defense decks. And
yeah.
I mean, in that scenario, when this plot is revealed, Stark doesn't have an intrigue weakness.
Well, you know, I've always wanted to run the Northern Infantry flank, who don't kneel to defend, right, if your opponents are running an agenda.
If
so,
no opponent is running an agenda, then they gain that.
Yeah.
Oh. Wait, they get better if your opponents aren't running agendas?
Yes.
Correct.
Oh, that sucks.
They are the opposite of the Northern Cavalry flank in both ways.
Oh, that's
why you never see them see any play.
Because I was just... Okay, that's another topic entirely. That sucks ass. Anyways, this card, though, is pretty interesting. I think that's cool.
Yeah, I mean...
It's reasonable stats.
Yeah. Almost
too
perfect.
Bad it'd be
Almost.
Better at a Greyjoy, right?
I mean, the effect is fairly unimpressive. I feel like... I don't know. It's King's Landing 2-ish. But without the worst initiative. The rest of the stats are the exact same.
You know, I think the coup has some other things going for it.
The
traits.
Fair enough.
That are a pretty big help. Plus, it can be greater card advantage for you, potentially, than Manderly's Scheme. Manderly's Scheme is just potential, like, card protection. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I like it for that one defense build, you know, the River Run deck that desperately needs a turn, that it can win everything on defense, and
yeah.
It doesn't have any intrigue icons hardly. But otherwise, I don't think this is going to be big.
Yeah, I don't really disagree.
Yeah. It's a cool idea, but I feel like if this card comes out years ago, like 3 years ago, where I felt like Stark was just getting ass raped by Intrigue, then heck yeah. But now Stark doesn't really have a problem with that, so.
Yeah. Might be alright in melee.
Yeah, I wish it wasn't against you, though, so you can then take advantage of defending for other people with it.
Oh yeah,
that'd be cool. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Overall, I'm really not digging Manderly schemes. It's one of the, maybe the weakest scheme.
Yeah.
Yeah, very possibly. And that's saying something, because Somi's scheme is not great.
And I'm actually really unimpressed by Victarion's scheme. Those are the three worst ones, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to give this card a solid D.
Yeah, I'm going to echo that. I'm not willing to give it an F because, like Will said, it does have a place in that River Run deck that needs the Intrigue defense for a turn to get a bunch of power.
Yeah. So I think I unfortunately have to agree with the D as well. Man, we need to get somebody on that disagrees with us more for these.
Mm-hmm.
We were way too much within the same realm.
Yeah, within a letter for pretty much every card.
Yeah.
A little variance, but not a lot.
So apologies to you listeners that wanted, you know, hard-hitting journalistic disagreements.
You're not getting that here.
Hey. I gave that fleet an A, guys.
You did, Daryl.
You guys didn't dismantle me enough on that. It's gonna be cool. You'll all see. It's gonna be awesome, so.
Props and flops?
Props and slops.
Daryl, I know you were talking earlier about how you had one already set up, so let's hear it.
Oh, yeah. I have a prop, I should say. My prop is to the new Daft Punk album. It is called Random Access Memories. It is so good. Seriously, the hype is there. Not every song is golden on it, but you can listen to this entire album and enjoy it. It feels kind of like, I guess the best way to explain it would be that you're getting face fucked by Ronald McDonald. Okay? Which I imagine tastes kind of like a double cheeseburger, a medium fry, and a vanilla shake all mixed together. So it's pretty pleasant, to say the least. But it's happening in your ears, obviously. You can't taste music.
So it's like getting ear fucked by Ronald McDonald.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. It's really good. It's tasty. I strongly recommend this album. It's just been a blast. It just gets stuck in your head, all the songs. Go out there and buy it. These two Frenchmen, I respect very much.
I have to admit, I was listening to it on Spotify tonight, actually, for the first time, while I was compiling some regional stats to update the spreadsheet, and it is actually pretty darn cool.
Yeah. Very funky.
Alright, I have a prop. It is to cake tastings for your wedding.
What?
Like, for the wedding cake, you have a cake tasting?
Uh-huh.
And Alicia and I had that today. And it was pretty much just free cake for something we were already going to buy.
So how many different cakes did you get to taste?
We were able to taste two because that's all they offered.
Aww.
But they made it sound like if we had wanted more, they would have brought us more. But the cakes were very, very rich, so I wasn't able to eat more than my two slices and nibble a little bit off of Alicia's.
What kind of cake are you going to have?
We're going to have white chocolate and spice.
Oh, man.
Oh, spice.
That sounds really tasty. Like from Dune?
Yeah.
Yeah, just like from Dune. The spice must flow. I'm going to start seeing through time.
But very cool. Mm.
So, yeah. William?
Boy, I feel like I should have done more more interesting things this week. I believe I propped the book I'm working on now last week. So I'm afraid I really haven't had much. Yay or nay? Oh, no, I apologize. I did think of one. I finally broke down and read all the rest of Irredeemable that I had not read yet.
Oh, nice.
And it was a pretty wild ride. It was awesome and exactly what I expected for about the first third of the series.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets weird. And then it ends on a really cool note. You know, I won't spoil any of the later stuff for anybody that hasn't read it and might. But for folks that are curious, it's a comic book by Mark Waid, who does a lot of really badass stuff anyway. But the story starts out basically that there is this Superman-esque character.
Called
the Plutonian, who has finally snapped. Like, the premise is that not everyone who is a superhero is emotionally stable enough to do it. And he is snapped and is on a murder rampage. And has killed, at the time the book opens, I think he's already killed a few million
people.
And it goes from there, following what's left of his former teammates, trying to figure out why and what happened and how to stop it. And yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
So now I'm reading the companion book, Incorruptible, where one.
I've not read that.
It's all right.
I've heard it's good though.
Yeah, I'm just a few issues in. It's the flip side of that story, where one of his major supervillains sees this destruction happen and kind of just has this epiphany and basically says, well, F it. Like, you know, he's going to burn the world down. Somebody has to do something, and none of the heroes are doing it, so I will. And he, like, turns a 180 in his, like, moral compass. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I really do want to read that. I haven't gotten around to it.
That sounds really cool. So,
yeah. I have a prop. It is to True Blood Season 5.
Oh, God. That sounds
cool. I'd watched a lot of True Blood back in the day, and I loathed Season 4 to the point that I just didn't watch the last episode. But I got to the point where I didn't have anything on Netflix to watch one night that Alicia and I weren't watching together, and I was the only one awake, so I didn't want to watch anything that we had. Nothing really was striking my fancy. But it's got an HBO Go account.
Nice.
And I was flipping around, and I saw True Blood. I thought there was a new season, so I was like, oh, I'll watch the last episode. So I did that, and it was still really unimpressive. And it's like, well, I'm still awake. I'll watch the first episode of the next season. And Season 5 was actually really good. I was really impressed by True Blood Season 5. So if you can make it through Season 4, it's worth it.
I don't know if I will. Season 3 made me quit the show.
Yeah, I could make it through season.
Maybe my second favorite season.
Really? Yeah.
Two was not great.
Three was bad. One was good though. I liked
one was really good. I really liked three and I really liked five. So really, their odd number seasons seem to be pretty good.
Yeah, I don't like True Blood, so there. I have a prop. I have finally downloaded Open Office about a week ago, because I am too much of a cheap ass to buy Microsoft Word 2000, whatever they're at now. You know what? I really like Open Office.
Yeah.
So bravo to those guys. I've been rolling around playing with Excel recently, or whatever they call Excel. It's been pretty fun, and it looks just like Microsoft Word, so okay. I mean, Microsoft Excel. So I mean, it's pretty much the same. So if you are a person who you don't have Microsoft Word, or you can't afford it, or you're a cheap ass like me and just decide you don't want to pay $130 for it or whatever, I recommend it. It's fun. It's been fun at least doing what I've been doing, so learning Excel and spreadsheets and stuff. It's pretty fun. So I recommend Open Office.
Yeah, Daryl, I can get Microsoft Office for like $10 through work, and I still haven't done it because OpenOffice is just as good.
See, there you go.
Slight addendum to had kind of a schism a year or two ago, so if you want the version that I think is updated and developed considerably more frequently right now, you actually probably want LibreOffice, which is LIBRE. So I may be pronouncing that a little bit off.
I downloaded it like 3 years ago and haven't looked back.
Yeah. They had some disagreements with the company that was kind of shepherding the project, Sun, and so a large chunk of the developers left, and the project wound up forking, which can happen, unfortunately, with open source stuff. But I think, thanks to Sun, OpenOffice is kind of treading water at the moment, shall we say. It's still great software, but it's not being updated and pushed the way LibreOffice is right now.
Hmm. All right.
Anything else? Anyone?
Do I have anything else? I have no idea.
I'm done.
I don't know. After I'm done here, I'm going to read some more of Snow Crash, so I don't know if I've propped that or not, but that's a pretty fun book. It's not for everybody, but if you get a chance, it's a Neal Stephenson book, and I really like it. It's a sci-fi, like a cyberpunk book about a swordsman / pizza delivery guy, and his name is Hero Protagonist, which is kind of interesting. He's like half black, half Asian. Really cool. So if you're bored, check it out. It's a pretty quick read. If you like Audible, it's on Audible, so check it out. It's pretty cool. That's it. I'm done. That's the most props I've probably ever had on this show. So
probably. All right. Well, I would like to thank you again. Sincerely, thank you for this episode. Listen to another fine episode of Two Champs, One Chump. We'll see you next week with hopefully some regional stat updates and news about the Springfield, Missouri Regional, which for anyone who is in the area when you listen to this on Friday and wants to come to our tournament on Saturday, anyone and everyone is more than welcome to join us. That seems like it's going to be a pretty good time.
Yes, it will, and I apologize. I did think of one other prop. I'm sorry. It is quite late when we're recording this. I meant to throw out huge props to Tim Parsons for donating some funds to us via PayPal. He's a big fan of our show and the Team Covenant show, and he knows several of the guys from that meta will be up at our event. And so he wanted to do something a little special for us. So he sent us some money. We split it up, about half of it, into various HBO, Game of Thrones, memorabilia things for some extra prizes, and the other half is going to go towards food and drink to kind of split up at the bar. So, you know, some pitchers and plates of fries and stuff that we can share out there. So I definitely want to make sure that Tim gets super, super huge props from us on the show.
Oh, yeah. You rock, bro.
Yeah. Thanks, man. You get to make Daryl's Dirty Dozen best people ever. You're the only person. And there probably won't
just 12 be, times.
Yeah, there won't be another 11, so I don't give that shit out for free.
It's a pretty big honor, is what he's saying.
Yeah. Yep. So if you ever need an angry Handy J or something, I'm sure that we could arrange that.
Daryl will arrange that. From Daryl.
God, that sounds weird.
All right. Well, again, thank you. We'll see you next week, same time, same place. For more Two Champs, One Jump.
Thank you so much.
Turn around, there's nothing to see here. Run away, no reason to be here. It's the ghost who never goes away.
Does Dowdy or Joey?
Anonymous.
Sorry, I spoke over you there. What was that?
Hmm?
I was trying to give you the chance to repeat yourself.
Oh, I can hear you.
Snip out where I talked over you.
Oh, okay.